Hello, and welcome to Starterset. My name is Ed Sylvester, this is...
Ollie, how's it going?
It's going well, Ollie, and welcome to the show that rewrites myths and... legends.
Yep.
Right.
Welcome, welcome.
Hello. Ollie, how are you, UK?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you, Edward. Well, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, good, excellent, love to hear it. Listen, how has... We got a couple of weeks under the old belt. Have you played any D&D?
Nope, I haven't. Actually, has I? Wait, no, I haven't. We've had a little, we've had a little break, and I'm not playing some, which would usually be this Friday. I'm not playing some this Friday either. I have to miss that session. So, a lack of Dungeons and Dragons, but I'll tell you what, Ed.
Yeah.
I did do something kind of fantasy-y. Yeah, I mean, I've told you this already, but for the listeners, we'll tell them what I did this week, shall we?
Yeah.
I went axe throwing for the first time, which was pretty sick, you know? And then, obviously, that being a young adult with no real life
expenses.
Yeah, I have then proceeded to go and buy myself my own throwing axe because I can.
Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. I mean, I really liked it. We did it for like an hour and it was fucking sick. But yeah, so I suppose that's kind of fantasy-esque, isn't it?
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. Go and throw some axes. It's very good.
Nice. So that throwing axe that you have purchased.
Fucking hell.
Can you go and take that to places and can you throw it at places? Or?
Fucking no idea. You know, I think brilliant. I think to be fair, well, you know, I've got my normal forest axe and then I now have two axes. Yeah. Don't come try and rob my house because I will throw my axe at you.
Brilliant. Excellent. Good. Superb.
What about you, Ed? You done anything?
D&D, no. But I have been as some listeners may have gathered, like I've been sort of exploring out there. I've been throwing out the net to find not the next thing, just a variation upon a theme. And because I'm trying to get something like to get together with my old D&D crew where we see each other for a big session type thing, but not
nice.
not in the same sense of like we can do that every single week because I've moved basically. So I'm looking for like one, like a big one shot, but when I say one shot, I mean sort of like 13 hours kind of sit around and play for a full day kind of one shot.
Nice, that'd be fun, that'd be good. Yes. Yeah, I like those.
And an
I like
RPG
those.
has come back into print recently, which another game that I was playing, it sort of uses that the mechanics from that game, but that's called Blades in the Dark. Ollie, Blades in the Dark.
No, this is the one. This is the one that you bought. In addition, me and Ed saw each other in real life the other day, didn't we?
That's been nice.
Yeah, just glossed over that a little bit, didn't we?
It's all right, we'll get back around to it.
Yeah, you bought this down, didn't you? Because I saw it on the table.
Yes, I did. So I basically purchased it and didn't get any time to read it. And then I thought, do you know what? If I'm traveling down from Scottyland to the bottom of the country, I'm going to need something to take up the time. And the best thing, well, one of the best things about this book is it is a good size book for traveling, as in it's like, it's not A4. What is it? A5? It's not A5 either. What's that size?
It's like A5.5.
Yeah, perfect. A5.5. So it kind of fits in like any sort of hardback novel. Which, when you're sort of wanting to, you know, if you take your D&D book on a plane, you're a bit of a dick because you've got two A4 spreads that you're kind of spreading out and you'll be sitting next to people, and that's a dick move. But if it's a nice little novel size thing, brilliant. Which is great. So yeah, read that on the way down, and then I got stuck in the airport on the way up for way back for about 7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I was informed of that. That was
Which was bullshit.
Yeah.
Basically.
Got back past 1 AM, didn't you, or something? Ridiculous.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I left fucking our house at 5, and a journey that should realistically take about 3 hours took 7 because I was stuck in Gatwick Airport.
Fucking easy.
It was literally all the other planes got cancelled except mine. So it was just me and like everybody else who was on my one flight just sat in Gatwick, and it got so late that people were coming in to do like overnight works and stuff like that.
Oh, geez.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, so that was good. Good experience. But it did mean that I could read that and get those rules down. And it's perfect. It's a perfect big one-shot is what I'll call it. It's a perfect big one-shot game because it's designed to be quick, fast, and you're categorically gonna be scoundrels of some sort in a big, terrible medieval city-esque city where there are ghosts and there's a big electric fence that's powered by demon blood that is, you find outside of the fence. It's a crazy setting, but it looks fun.
Yeah, that sounds fucking nuts. That sounds cool, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And it's designed in that you play it. It's a heist game, so you're always going to be doing a heist of some sort, or an assassination, or a roughing up, or something like that.
Cool.
You basically do your plan bit, and then you do the score. And you can do the... You don't have to do too much of the planning, because you can actually do flashbacks whilst you're doing the other bit, whilst you're doing the main bit, and you say, I've prepared for this, I spent some time. Provided that you can like link in a connection or something
so
like that.
So it's all about bullshitting your way into victory.
Yes, exactly, because it's difficult to. It's quite difficult. Like, you always have to, if you want your action to achieve without any negative effects, you have to, it's a D6 game, you have to roll a 6 on a dice, right? So it's all about failing forwards, basically.
Yeah.
But very smart, very concise. And also, Ollie, here's the kicker. Only 20 English pounds.
That's bloody good.
It is bloody good. Yeah. That is everything as well. That's not just like, oh, here's your... It's not what we have, where it's here's your one book and then your other book and your other book, and you theoretically got to spend about 120 quid.
Yeah, I think on my D&D shelf, I mean, yours is, you've got every fucking Dungeons & Dragons book there is.
I stopped at Spelljammer.
Right. I stopped following it when it was Tales of the Yawning Portal, when that came out.
Right, yeah. Fine, that a long time ago.
Yeah, I just couldn't be arsed.
Well, it's a lot of money. Yeah. It's a lot of cash. So yeah, 20 quid, that's all that you need, and then you can rock and roll. And I'm all about that value for money. We're in a cost of living crisis, so...
Big up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's go and spend a little less and live a lot more, basically, is the vibe on that one. So there you go, Blades in the Dark, 20 quid. Go for it. Have a little gander. Right! That's not why we're here, though, Ollie. We are here to play Dungeons & Dragons, and we're here to play Beowulf Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes,
you
yes.
are Normanda, and I am every other fucker under the sun. So, got your horn?
Yep, somewhere. Right. Okay. Right,
Ollie's just had an ice cream.
Yeah, I'll be blowing ice cream into my horn. That's basically what's going to happen. I also have a little bit of a chest infection, so...
Yay!
Why does
amazing.
It gets worse every fucking time. Jesus.
You definitely hit a sweet spot with this.
Right, let me I want to get it. You can just edit this bit out, but
it's going in.
I mean, that was a bit better.
Yeah, that was better.
Take it.
Yeah. Take the win.
Take the dub, yeah.
With that, the fire is lit and there are stories to tell.
Yeah.
We return to this swirling mist that Normanda and his followers find himself in or themselves in.
Mm.
You have just called out a challenge to Gogamog, King of the Giants. Theoretical, big bad, if this was a story of said story.
Yeah.
For Normanda, this is just life. For us, it is a story, but who knows?
Right. Gogamog.
An answer comes to you, Ollie.
Okay.
Or should I say Normanda? An answer comes to you. It does not come in words. It does not come in whispers. It comes in... Well, you don't necessarily know if it's an answer to your challenge, but something has picked up on your shouts, I think is better to say. The challenge echoed into the sky, the feeling that's thought with it, maybe this could be a response from just external factors. But, and it's difficult to spot, but that's the thing that kind of takes you away and why you kind of takes you a little bit by surprise. Because, as I've mentioned, there are these sort of forms and figures that are walking around the mists, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And they glow with kind of like a faint, pale, bluish light.
Mm-hmm.
It's the movement of these pale figures that let you know what's coming, because you see them kind of lifted up. And I've mentioned how the floor and the sky is difficult to separate between the two. Around you, there is space, seemedly, but the floor and sky seem to be made from the same kind of greyish blue-green mists.
Right.
You see the figures become picked up and then fall again behind something that moves it. Inexplicable.
Okay.
Could you do a quick intelligence check, please? I just want to see how fast it takes your mind to compute this information and figure out what that is.
We use the lucky blue dice today.
Lucky blue!
Oh, lucky blue. Oh, actually, it is lucky. I thought it was a 5, but it's an 18. So, 18 plus intelligence. Is that just saving throw?
Nope, it's just an intelligence check, please.
20, dirty 20, plus 2.
Dirty 20. Very nice. Do you know what? Side here. I've just remembered we've not done our alignment dice for this game
at all
for quite a long time.
It's always been old gods.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. That's fine. But that's good to know that we've not done that. Bloody hell. I guess you figure it out and you make it your own thing, right? Which is what we're doing. So, dirty 20. That's a wave. There's no way that couldn't be a wave in the way that it's moving. The way those things are being lifted up and then kind of like disappear from the horizon. But it's pretty close, you would say. You have enough time to basically take an action or movement before it comes and lifts you up and places you down again.
Okay, an action or movement or both?
Oh, do you know what? I'm feeling generous, Ollie. You can take both.
All right. Action. Seeing this wave coming towards me, not really knowing what it is, I will grab my spear.
Mm-hmm.
I will proceed to point my spear at the ground, so if the wave was to come at me, it just gets hit by the spear.
Interesting, right? Okay.
And I'm going to say to Atcha, come here with your shield and your club. And be ready. But we're going to stand in line. We're going to form a shield wall, Edward.
Okay, nice. Shield wall, nice.
Pointed at the ground, ready.
Yeah,
like maybe it. Maybe, like, even on our knees so that we're more stable. Just the most stable position we can be. Weapons ready. Done.
Cool.
But the whole
that
squad.
That would be a great... Yeah, do you know what? I love it. It would be a fantastic defense if what was coming and what you thought was, in fact, a creature or something stepping out of the ground. But ultimately, you're pointing your spear at a wave, and as it comes and it lifts you up, because it is just like a rolling a rolling in the mists, basically. And your spear pointed at the ground just means that you're pointing it as the ground itself is lifted up out from underneath you and then plonks you back down again.
Okay, but I misread that situation, Jesus.
A little bit, but yeah. It doesn't matter. If you could make some dexterity saving throw, please, and I will do it for the rest of the crew. Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, tell me what you got.
Sure. 16 plus 6, so fucking okay. Tons, yeah.
Yeah, fine. You managed to... The fact that you planted your feet to kind of create a little bit of a shield wall situation means that you were just now in a decent situation where when the wave basically dropped out from underneath you again and sort of planted you back over the other side, you just managed to catch your feet. Everyone else... hits the deck.
Great.
Because they rolled a 1, a 3, and a 4.
Fuck. Okay. Excellent.
they all fall prone.
Fucking useless.
But the interesting thing is as you stand kind of helping them all back up again, you notice that there's another one coming on the horizon. It's not close, but it's not that far away. The bodies or the spiritual elements that were lifted up and plonked back down again, as you've kind of hit the floor, or as you've all collectively hit the floor on the other side, Atch's arm breaks one of these spirits, kind of just breaks through the fog. And previously we described that their faces were ones of mixed emotions.
Yeah.
But ultimately kind of thousand-mile stare.
Yeah, and there was that singular red one.
Mm. Her arm kind of drifts through one that was blue, kind of that bluish tint to it.
Yeah.
And it gets a focus. It looks more aware of where it is. And it changes from that sort of outline, quasi-humanoid standing human person, and it becomes red on the outside, and it becomes aware. Turns towards you and changes form. It shifts down into a child, Ollie.
Okay.
Just a small child.
Is it maybe still six, red?
7. It has a red sort of glow, a reddish outline. This child walks towards you, arms outstretched, opens its mouth... in a smile. It's about 15 feet away, and at about that 15 feet point, that's when its teeth just start to drop out of its mouth, just ching 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 ching, and you can hear it clinking, and it's just tottering towards you, smiling away, but the smile is shattered, and these teeth, they keep falling.
Surely
there can't be that many teeth in there.
Attack that shit. Fuck that child. Fuck it. Kill that.
All right. So you going for a spear throw because this is 15 feet.
I do a quick duck and roll stab.
Duck roll stab. Oh, you're gonna move up and stab. Yep. Yeah. Go for it. Go for
keep
like
keep
me,
some
please,
distance.
Ollie.
I think spears have reach. Do they?
I believe they do.
No. What's that? 12 plus a 3, 15.
15 against this AC. It has got one thing. Yes, that hits, Ollie. That hits. You're very good. All right. How much do you do?
Oh, damage. Okay. 1d6. 6 plus 3. 9 damage.
All right. Nice one. That takes it down to... Perfect. The spear strikes through the child. Like, you take it through the shoulder, roughly around where the heart area will be, and its head kind of, like, where it was smiling, its smile stops, goes straight. Its head then starts to kind of roll back, and you see the mouth open up, and it kind of hinges on the mouth like a snake. And the teeth just start pouring and 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 pouring. And they kind of... coalesce around its feet, make itself back up again, and then standing in front of you, above you, is a kind of weirdly looks similar to Neo had, but only in stature. about 8 foot tall, thin as well, but with a full skeletal figure. Like a skeleton, like a undead skeleton.
Okay.
But with skin stretched so tight across the bone. No eyes, nothing like that. And the jaws are just like clanking together. Six arms. Because they kind of start unfurling back from behind themselves. And I think we will roll for initiative as you start to fight whatever this thing is.
Sweet, because I actually have a plus two initiative that I have never been adding. Because apparently I don't know how to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Nice one, love it.
So.
Alright, Ollie. What'd you get?
I got a 11 plus a 3, so okay. 14. Quick maths.
Good stuff. And then I'm going to go with, presuming that Cald and Atcher are engaging in this.
Yep. The other bloke.
New head.
Yeah, he is tied up still.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
Yeah, just... So he's probably...
He just kind of takes a little bit of a casual seat. You see him chewing his nails. Ah! Go on.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then... Right, excellent. Good stuff. So, with this horrific changing, there is obviously quite a mental toll that it takes. So, if I could get a wisdom saving throw from you, please, Ollie.
Mm-hmm. Wisdom saving throw plus 4. 13 plus 4, Ed, so it's 17.
Okay, that's passed. Well done. Perfect. This image that stands before you, or creature, or whatever it is, whilst horrific in vision, you kind of hold fast, you're ready to rock and roll. It, however, does have an attack, I'm afraid. So, it reaches out with one of its skeletal hands, and it kind of flies towards you. Are we looking at little doubly dubs? Nope, it's just a single one on here. But it, oh! 23, Ollie.
Does that hit me or is that the damage?
That's 23 for a hit.
Yeah, that hits me. Against your AC. Yeah, my AC's 17.
Yeah, I was gonna why? Yeah, it's not damage, that would be bananas.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Wee shit me. Okay, 15 necrotic damage.
Fucking hell. Okay. Christ. Yep, that is, yep, fuck's sake, okay.
Bad time.
Yeah, really bad time, oh my god.
Let me go back up. So. Cool, excellent. That is the top of the round. You go, Ollie.
Is it just a singular figure?
Singular figure that stands before you, this skeleton clacking of the jaws, six arms.
Okay, so obviously setting Atcher and Cloud to engage.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing their attack actions.
Yep.
Which are, what are they called?
Oh, you want to use the...
Atcher is going to use Weapons Bearer, and they're both going
to
engage.
Yeah, so they both get abilities to attack themselves, and it's just a D to figure this out finally, however many shows into the show. So they both can get attack rolls, so it's just whatever they roll, and then this is as a reaction called a follower action, which you get to do as part of your turn. Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. So it's like another swing.
Yeah. So weapons bearer then for Atcher.
Yep.
You can do that.
Okay. She rolls with advantage, doesn't she, with the weapons bearer?
Yep. And then it's 1d10.
She hits, very good. And we're rocking the old d10. Oh, and a 9. Lovely 9.
Let's go.
Well done. Okay. Her club, interestingly, she swings her club towards the creature, it hits it, and you see the club kind of go through it. The main things that kind of pull at its being are the metal-ringed bands around the club. They pull at its being, and the skeleton creature looks down around, and you see it start to shift again. Maybe this one will work. It goes down, you see like its ribs start to kind of pop out. The spine kind of shrinks in upon itself, and then instead it kind of goes down on, uses those six arms and its other two back legs, and it shifts into somewhat of a spider, except imagine it's a spider, but where the usual face of said spider would be is two slathering dog's heads that are biting, gnarling, sort of just ripping at yourself, trying to get to you with the spider's legs, kind of overly moving. It's big. It's like a cross. It's about 8 foot.
Okay, well that's fucking terrifying. Right. First of all, I'm gonna stab that bitch. So
go for it.
Again, we'll do another kind of spear stab. Shall I do?
Are you shifting back on this one? Because if you're letting either Atcher or Cald take the engage action, you need to be out of melee range for that, for you to not get attacked.
Yes, I shall roll away.
Okay, nice. And we will get a little attack of opportunity because that's just the way fine. Things are. Oh shit me! It's another 23, my boy.
Okay, right. Well, so if I don't die,
It's not too bad this time. 7 necrotic damage.
Oh, okay, that's fine. All right. Still, that's actually quite a lot.
Mighty metal as well.
Yes, yeah, and I will throw my spear at it instead of stabbing. So I'll do a spear throw. Well, that's a natural 18. So that's that.
Lovely. This is going to hit.
Yep.
D6.
Yep, D6, 4 plus 3. Whatever that is.
7.
7. 7 damage.
Maths.
Yep, 7 damage.
Okay, lovely stuff. Excellent.
Nice.
And then, are you bonus action Mighty Metal?
Yes, because he could actually kill me in one turn right now. So, so Mighty Metal is all of my hit dice potentially, isn't it? Right. So
it's all of the ones that you've got left at that moment.
So I'm fully rested.
Cool.
So I would have
all of your hit
everything.
Dice.
So remind me what that is, because I keep on messing this up.
So it is a initial hit dice, which is a D12.
Yeah.
And then the rest of your hit dice, which I think is a D8 per level.
Oh, I've just been doing 1d12 and 1d8.
Well,
so,
as you said, you might have been messing this up.
Yeah, I've definitely been messing that up. I probably wouldn't have died too. What's his face? Oh, well. Right, I rolled d12. 12, that's great. Right, 12 hit points.
Lovely.
Plus 6, that's 20 hit points.
And these are temporary as well, remember?
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Okay. Right, so 21 hit points. 26. 36, and I don't know if I've rolled enough, but I can't keep count apparently. So
that's it. Yeah, you're on. 36 temporary hit points.
36. Let's go. Excellent.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
at
that's
all.
Bloody
okay.
Brilliant. I should do that at the beginning of battle.
A lot of the time. Remember, you are spending them as you're doing it, though. That's the thing. So it does impact your short rest.
Okay.
So, Normander, you've done your bits and bobs. It goes over to Cald. What would you like Cald to do?
So,
I mean, he is engaged.
He's engaged. He doesn't really have anything other than just the engage thing. So,
He can do the attacks if he wants to.
Does he have an attack? Oh, he does now. He's got his little sword. Yeah.
We're going to roll it that he just gets one. It's just whatever the D20 is.
Cool. Yeah, he can engage.
Okay, lovely stuff. That's a good roll as well. Which will be a hit. Excellent. Well done, him.
Nice.
Yeah, you see his little knife plunge into the side of the skeleton, spider-esque creature. For a very small amount of damage. But his knife goes into the side of said creature. It nicks at one of the legs, and that leg kind of flicks off. It breaks off and falls to the floor. You see both of the dog heads, which are have been slathering and lathering away. You've had like trails of spit and saliva go past your face. They look at that spider leg, and then the entire creature kind of coalesces in itself and turns into just like a quasi-humanoid, but made up of small but long bugs, like centipedes and millipedes, just all writhing in upon themselves. You can see a face kind of within this collective mass of it, but it's all standing there leaning towards you, and you can hear it. That's the thing that's most uncomfortable, is this chitinous discord that just rolls around in your head. Next up, it's Atch's go. She's going to swing a-ling-a-ling. She does very well for herself.
Great. Let's go. Come on.
Very well again. Takes that down to quick maths. There we go. Perfect. And the bugs barely have time to register and start making that horrible cacophony before the club goes straight through the center of it, all the way down. You hear like a squish. Pss, 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 as they pop, and they continue to pop, and the juices that come out of these bugs then like form back up again. And before you then stands that same girl, but head back like a snake with a detached jaw, the top of the head almost basically like swinging like a hinge off the door, and it creaks in the same sort of sense. The teeth are spilling and spilling and spilling, but her hands have these clawed elements to them now this time. And we go up to the top of the round. It is the entity's round. Because of the horrific things that you've seen, could you make a wisdom saving throw, please, Ollie?
Yes. Okay, not as good as last time. Wisdom plus four. 9 plus 4 is 13.
13. You are held in place. This second time round, it's even worse. You saw it the first time, but you barely had a point to kind of register what was going on. And just looking at it, it is... Oh, good God. It's not a good time at all. So you are considered paralyzed until the start of your next turn.
Okay. Fucking hell, paralyzed.
Cald is also paralyzed. Atcher is not.
Okay, right, that's fine. Atcher can finish this. Come on, Atcher.
Not until the start of your next... Yeah, until the start of your next turn. So for the round, basically. Yeah. So you stand there, just held in place by this horrific entity. Your eyes open. You can see it in front of you, and you can see the teeth just spilling out and then refilling. And they, when they hit the ground, they just sort of disappear. There's not like a pile building up. But the thing you also notice is that wave is getting closer. Atcher goes for a swing. Natural 20. Very good. And she basically goes for a baseball style round the back all the way and kind of clunks the child thing in the side of the head for a whopping... not as good as you would like. But still, not bad. That I forgot to actually attack with the creature, which was silly.
That's fine, do it now.
So that would be... You're not engaged, they are engaged, so it would be towards Cald.
Yep.
That will be one of Cald's death saves, okay, because he is frozen in place, and you see the creature reach out as the child this is, and it just pushes its hand into his little chest and then just pulls back out and kind of just puts it to its wide open mouth area. Which I need to roll for, excuse me. I'm a little out of turn here. It's not too bad though, he's kind of okay. All right. Atcha's done a thing. Back up again. Ollie. She's hit it, so it gets a new form. Yep. It cycles through. This time, instead of going for those multiple kind of bugs and centipedes and millipedes, you see almost like a creature that's made of jello, basically. But inside this ichor, this oozing, shifting, continual ichor, you remember Hestus from, or Hexus from Fern Gully?
No.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Like oil. Like an oil creature, okay. Basically. But it's green, shifting between greens and purple undulations. And then the mouthpiece area is just made up of like these big sort of mandibles, these big kind of claw clippers. Wicked. Wisdom save, please.
Yep. Okay, better. Natural 16, so 16 plus. Yeah, cool. We're good.
I'll do the other two. Cald still frozen in place. Atcha still moving.
Okay.
Normander.
Yes.
So you are fine. It'll go out towards Atcha probably on this one to go for the attack. It will definitely miss on that one. She ducks below as those like mandibles go to like strike between her, and she manages, basically she shifts her head slightly forwards so that they just around the back of her head rather than like where it was pincering towards the front. That's its turn done. Normander, your go.
Okay, I'm up. I threw my spear at it. Is my spear in it?
Spear, just like, so you just throw on it, the ground. Make impact, and then as it shifted, it just hit the ground. Okay. You have an axe, which you can throw.
Yeah, which I'm sure yeah, is very you know what, for you, right you know what. As as an experienced single-time axe-throwing champion who was actually didn't really win. Terrible at it, but we won't talk about that, I will throw my axe.
Good, okay.
And, of course, typical fashion of being terrible in real life, I rolled a natural one, so I'm terrible in-game as well.
Excellent. Do you have advantage or not advantage? Do you have
I do have an inspiration point. Inspiration point!
Yeah.
It doesn't matter! I rolled another natural one!
Did you actually?
Oh, fuck's sake.
So you go to throw the axe... thunk. It just kind of like as it leaves your hand, it comes out at a little wrong angle and it just hits the ground just slightly in front of the creature.
Fucking hell, man.
Oh dear, not great. Doesn't matter. Cald is frozen. Atcha still swinging away. She is definitely an MVP.
Can I use my movement?
Yes, you can.
Can I try and like circle around it so we're all I don't know if there's a flanking aspect to
mechanic.
Yeah, but
there is, but not particularly. I don't like it's too complex to be tracking, especially Theatre of the Mind style.
Yeah, cool, that's fine.
It's just swing and swing.
I'm just going like basically in a flanking position, but we can ignore the mechanic because I don't like if it's too complicated, then don't matter. Can I possibly pick up my spear on the way? If it's
We'll say you can.
Yeah, okay, right. Grab my spear, carry on running around. Just kind of get to look to the other, if like. Atcha's on the right, Cloud's in the middle. I'll just circle to the left of Cloud.
To the left. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Atcha's go. She's going to swing with the old club. You've got your spear back up again.
Yep.
Bad roll for Atcha. You have inspiration points for the followers as well, Ollie. Do you want to do it again?
But you know what? I'm saving them for important moments.
Okay, that's fair enough. Cool. Excellent. That's that. We are three rounds down. Now, if they are still staying in this fight and fighting... Mind you, you've gotten into melee range now, haven't you? Okay, never mind. And... tippy-toppy of the round. Wisdom saving, please, Ollie.
Yep. Okay, not bad. 15 plus 4,
19. You're good. Cald shakes his head. Okay, come on, you piece of shit!
Let's go!
But... Atcha, this moment, takes a moment, and whatever it is, it's just taken her for a ride. And that's that. Then it goes to attack you because you're within range. Yep. It rolls a 2. You're fine.
Get fucked.
This is the problem. You load it up on one big attack, and if you miss it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Then it is your go, Ollie.
Perfect, right.
Normander, off you go.
I have my spear back. Again, just a roll forward, stab him over my shield.
Yep.
Okay, good. Natural 17, so dirty 20. Perfect. Love
dirty
it.
Dirty 20 works.
All right. D6. 4 plus 3, 7 damage.
Nice.
Oh, fuck that. I have extra attack now, which I haven't been doing.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah.
Right. Doing that brilliant. Again.
Yes, you do.
Is that another? Oh, and a natural 20. Okay, right.
Whee!
And I rolled a 6. So we got 12 damage. Wait, are you rolling... We doubling dice?
Doing double dice or double damage dice. Whatever, just double. Yeah, that's finally.
12 damage.
Just roll it as you have. 12 damage.
Hell yeah.
12 plus the 7 is 19. Very good.
That changed the game, remembering what mechanics my character actually has. That would be good, wouldn't
it? Yep, that definitely does. That's a big part of it.
You can tell we've had a couple of weeks off, can't you?
Yeah, here comes Cal. He's a little orange ball of rage, especially as it's taken something from him. He definitely hits very well done. Goes in with a little daggery knife. Not bad. About as good as he can do. That is that. Perfect. Atch is frozen in place. That's when the wave hits, Ollie. Okay. That's when the wave goes flying up and smashes through you. Dexterity save, please. From yourself, and I will do the other two.
Not good.
Cal's fine.
Dexterity saving throw 8.
Poor on you. Yeah. So you are thrown prone. Cal rides the wave. Atcha, who obviously is currently paralyzed, is lifted up and dropped. And you hear as she hits the deck a painful crunch as she loses one of her death saves.
Okay.
The entity kind of just rides it nice and easily, like it's just a standard thing.
Okay, cool. Right.
Back round, top of the round, it's the thing.
Yeah.
You've just done a piss ton of damage to it, so it shifts form again. Atcha needs to... No, Cal's hit it, Atcha's frozen. Yep, you hit it. So, shifting... and it shifts back to that, what are we on at the moment, sort of jello creature thing. Yeah, nice, okay. So out from the, as your spear goes inside of it and Cal's knife kind of strikes the side, you see it reel back slightly, shifts back, moves lower to the ground, and from around the back you see a big scorpion's tail kind of start to grow out from it. The scorpion tail, as it gets a bit further and grows out, then shifts into the body of a snake. Body of a snake, and then the face of a hauntingly beautiful woman.
Okay, snake lady, let's go.
Whose features are all slightly too long, slightly too elongated nose, slightly too elongated face, eyes that are a little bit too far apart, a little bit too wide, like it's weird to look at her kind of thing, like it's unnerving. Tippy top of the round, wisdom saves, yep. Please.
15, I'm good, so like 19 or something.
Cald and Atcha are held in place. They don't like Snake Long Lady.
Okay.
With the old scorpion sting.
Doesn't matter.
It goes to attack you, though. And you see the stinger coming flying towards you. Oh, it's not great. What's your AC?
17.
Right, rolled a 7, and it gets not enough to basically get that to a level of what you need it.
Perfect.
So, miss.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot do it better myself. Right.
You'll go.
Double attack.
Yes, because that's what you do.
Yeah, because that's what I can do now. First one's natural 17, so dirty 20. That's going to hit.
Dirty 20 hits.
Next one is crap. It's 8, so that definitely misses.
Okay, so let's see what the dirty
damage is. 5 total, 2 plus 3.
5 total, okay. Perfect. And we then get through to the other. The other two are frozen. Your spear strike, however, goes into the front of the snake, and it tears down the middle into like a ribbon, shifts round, and it begins to, as it shifts down and goes into like this ribbony kind of looking thing, instead of where like this one central body, it kind of splits in two, rails up, and you see, you've never seen a dragon, you don't know what they are, but you imagine that this is somewhat of what it would look like. There's, but it's not too, it's not massive, except it has two heads. One of them is turning from one side to the other, and the faces look a little bit like vultures, vulture-esques on kind of a, what we would sort of think of as a Komodo dragon.
Okay, imagine a
Komodo dragon with two heads and they're vulture heads.
That's basically sick.
That's where
we're at. Yeah, that's so cool.
Sweet. You hit, they're frozen. Background. Wisdom save, please, Ollie.
Yep. Ooh, not amazing. 11 plus... 4, 15.
Okay, you're fine, and so are the other two. You see them shift there from where they were, and they are ready to rock and roll.
Let's go.
Perfect. Wisdom saves done. Round to the attack. It goes to attack you because you are where you are. 14 plus 6, which is dirty 20, which is a hit on you. Oh, good. Nice big one. 12 necrotic damage.
Not bad.
Sorry, 15 necrotic damage.
Okay, that's fine. Yep, cool. Right. Nice. Just basically taken half of those.
Okay, sweet.
Temporary hit points. Right, double attack again, because I can do that.
Yep.
Natural 15, 18. Does that hit?
That hits.
Right. First damage on that is 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 on the first one.
Nice.
13, 14, 15, 16. 16 hit.
That hits. Okay.
2 plus 3, 5 damage on the second one.
5 damage on the second one. Perfect. The spear, your first strike goes to like the center eye of one of the vultures, and you flip it round and then strike the second eye of the other vulture. They both hit the deck, and then the collective kind of like feathery neck piece that kind of goes around before they get their kind of classic bald head, because this is a bald head vulture. The feathers kind of start to disintegrate and peel off the body. They go back, it shifts, it becomes smaller. This red aura that was around it, the creature for the time that you were fighting it, shifts, goes back, and comes blue once again, and you just see a figure standing there, just looking a little bit serene. If you could do a perception check for me, please,
Ollie. Of course. Natural 17, so I need to really work out where these things are. Perception plus 4, 21.
21, okay, that's good, very good. With a 21 and looking ahead at the... You can just make out a face. Like you've kind of seen glimpses of them as you've been walking through this strange land. The blue aura around it just hits it just right where you can see a face. And the face is... It's not content, but it kind of looks quasi-confused. And you see a strange little bead of sweat, almost. It's difficult to define it, but you guess that's what it could be. Huh. Weird. Insight, please, to kind of see if you can get what this is.
Natural 19.
Oh, you've got loads of
insight. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous,
Okay. With that and your out the wazoo insight...
Yeah, plus 7.
You've seen people before sleeping, and you've seen people dreaming, and you've seen people experiencing nightmares. You think you might know... Maybe... Where this is? Maybe where this is? Or what that was, at least.
Are we travelling through a dream world?
Oh, Ollie, what a question. What an insightful question.
That's really cool if we are. I would like to say credit to the Dungeon Master.
credit taken. Because, boy, if this show is not just about my ego. Yeah, it would. It may make sense. You've heard that, especially in your kenning and you know, with what you do, dreams aren't just a way of dealing with the day-to-day and the imagery that we see when we go to sleep, in the same way that nightmares aren't just figments of our imagination. They must come from somewhere. Like, say, a child walking towards you, losing its teeth continually. Mm. The idea that dreams can be bridges between worlds is not one that is new to a kenner. In fact, some people say that kenners, some specialised kenners, can even walk in dreams.
Bridge the gap.
Or, yeah, or use that space to help others. To influence them. It's also somewhat known that the space between is called jeem.
Jeem.
Or the jeem.
The jeem.
J-E-A-M.
Okay. What would I know about the jeem, Edward, as a...
With the way that you've learnt stuff and the way that your granddad teaches you kenning and all that sort of stuff, not much. This is not, but in no way is it his kind of speciality. Yeah. He's very much more a
rune keeper,
a lore master of runes and of like medicines and salves and things like that.
Cool, okay.
Some of the kenners that do this sort of stuff are considered maybe a little bit more esoteric in their studies, and they do tend to get a little bit more pushed to the side. Like, that's our kenner. He's not really allowed into people's houses anymore. Right.
They're a bit kind of thing. Witchy.
They go, yeah. Difficult to tell what's real and what's jeem.
Okay, cool. Right. Okay, so we're in Land of Jeem, and me personally would know that if one was to, say, fall in a dream, they would wake up.
Yeah, no, Inception rules ain't running here, I'm afraid,
okay,
Ollie.
That's fine. Bugger. right. Okay, so where are these waves coming from?
The waves have somewhat calmed.
They've stopped, have they? Were they coming from that angry spirit, or were they coming from further afield?
It was difficult to say, really, whether it was an echo of your challenge kind of thrown back to you, and that's what kind of exacerbated pieces. But yeah, I think it's safe to say to maybe not touch the other things that are in these places. Yeah.
Okay, right. And we were on track. We were following a light, weren't we?
Yeah, you have points of light. There are certain points of light that indicate positions of great power between realms.
Yeah, so...
You want to keep going, boss? Like, I kind of feel a bit funny. And he's kind of holding his little chest area where the creature basically placed its hand or whatever it was at that moment in time.
Yeah, Cloud, mate, you... Hop in the coat, and you take a rest while we carry on.
Yeah,
you rest up. What's the distance like to the nearest blue thing?
That is difficult to tell.
And how long have we been walking roughly? Do you know? Would it be like a day's march? Would I be able to tell that?
Yeah, about a day, maybe day and a half.
Okay, so time for a kind of a rest. Yeah. Okay.
Could be.
Right. Setting up camp. Okay. You know what, Cloud? Forget about that, mate. We're going to set up camp.
Yeah. I don't think we should stop. This is Atcha.
Okay. Well,
she looks a bit wide-eyed.
Okay. Can I see any form of Because kind of in my head at the moment, it's like a plain field with mist along the bottom of it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Are there any rocks? Any landscape?
Sure. There is, Ollie, there is nothing
right
around you.
Okay, actually, look. Cloud's injured. We've been going for a day and a bit, roughly. How long do you think we can keep this up before we get exhausted? Like,
I don't know, but I would like to be out of this place as soon as possible.
Okay.
Ugh. Can't cut it.
Yeah, look, actually we're in Jeem, which is Dream Realm, so just think of this as like you're sleeping. But we're obviously not sleeping. So you don't have to worry about it. It's not scary. Yeah, that was pretty scary. That little girl with loads of teeth and stuff. Pretty creepy. What did we do? We killed it. It's fine. Let's carry on. It doesn't matter. Look, we'll put it to a vote, shall we? Archer wants to carry on. I say we set up a camp, at least for like an hour or so, just to catch our breath after that fight. Cloud, what do you say?
I kind of don't mind either ways. I prefer to, I guess, I could do with a small rest, but I would like to not necessarily be in here. You know, this don't make, that felt too close.
Yeah.
How do I put it? Yeah, you know, back in your world.
Yep.
Or where we were. If I get, like, stabbed or hurt, all I do is kind of... don't get me wrong, it hurts like shit, but I don't die, I just go back to Alfheim and I stay there for Alfay, that's what I called it. Alfay. Yep. And I'll reconstitute eventually, you know? Yeah. I come back round again. It takes a few hundred years, but I'll be there. So, but that, when that thing put its hand in my chest, that felt different.
Okay.
That was... So, yeah. I don't want to hang around here too much.
Right, so this is like permadeath. Crap. You, father of the dead.
Oh, yes.
What would you like?
Well, I would like to see you all living for a while. At least to make sure we can get my crafts back.
Okay, cool. Thanks, that was really helpful. Look, you probably could have helped in that fight, so...
He kind of holds up his bound hands.
See, I really wish you wouldn't do that, because now you're just expecting me to cut you loose where I was going to do it out of kindness, but now you've kind of asked for it, so I kind of want to say no. Fine. You know what? Yeah, I'll pick up my axe and I'll cut his hands loose. Does he have any weapons?
None that you can see on
him. Do you need any weapons? What do you do?
Well, I know things and know people well, like you. He kind of points his long, gnarled finger out and it just kind of weirdly strokes the center of your chest on your ribcage.
Right. Okay, but what can you do in a fight to help us?
That is a different question. Not much.
Okay, right. You're fucking weird, mate. I've got a sling, which does 1d4 damage, so I'm going to give him my sling and a bunch of rocks. So, there you go. Here's a weapon. Do you know how to use it? You probably do. You've been alive for not long enough.
It's just shaking his head. If you must, give me armaments. I will take a sword.
I don't have a sword.
Wow. There we go.
Okay. Right. Useless. Right. Okay. We carry on. I'm going to give him... I'm leaving him the sling. He can have the sling.
We continue.
Yeah.
Then.
We'll carry on. Onwards. We'll carry on. Onwards.
Good. I would like to be away as soon as possible.
Right. Cloud, remember, mate. Sit in the cloak. Have a short rest to heal up a little bit.
Yeah, you got it, boss.
And then we'll run. We'll pick up the pace.
Okay. Nice. You take a moment, kind of gather your things, gather your wits, and start to jog through the miasma of Jeem towards the ever-present light on the horizon. And as you're running, there's a moment where you pick up another light, like there's another one, slightly off, slightly dimmer, but there's definitely another light that is kind of in your direction, to the left of where that large singular bright sits.
Okay, did it appear, like, suddenly, or...?
No, not an appearance, it's more that you've managed to move yourself to a point where it becomes more visible. Right.
Okay. And how close would that one be?
Difficult to say here, Ollie. Very difficult to say.
Okay.
You have a choice.
Yeah.
Do you continue going to the one that is brighter? Or do you go for this one? This secondary piece on the left.
The big one or the further away one?
Oh. You don't really have to answer now, Ollie, because I'll let you ponder that over until the next time we do this.
Okay. All right. Sure thing.
And we can call it for today's session. Lovely. So, as always, we have been Starter Set. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to find out a little bit more, go and find us on the old Discord. Any questions you want to throw up there, I'll try and answer them. As much as possible without spoilers. If you do, you know, don't want to ask me about it, that's cool. Same with Ollie and with Normanda.
Yep.
We both have a look at that on the regular basis. Yeah. And
you know what? Just because it will be fun, anyone wants to draw any of those weird monsters Edward described, that would be cool as well.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm looking forward to some AI art of those things as
well.
Oh,
yeah, that would be sick.
One.
Yeah. Cool.
Sweet. Okay, as always, we have been Starter Set. You have been our listeners. Roll well, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Goodbye.